All right, if you will, go ahead and turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter number 1. Romans chapter number 1, and we're going to go ahead and begin reading from verse 18. Romans chapter 1, and we're going to begin reading in verse 18. But before we do that, I want to go ahead and give you a little backstory on what the inspiration is behind this message. And I'll go ahead and admit to you this morning that it's a kind of early. And, you know, I almost don't want to talk about stuff like this at 8:30, 9 o'clock in the morning. But I feel like God has impressed this message on my heart over the last couple weeks. And the inspiration for this message really comes from a friend of mine who I buried his wife, which was my great aunt. We called her Aunt Bobby. And Aunt Bobby was a Christian, and being one of the preachers in the family, y'all know my brother's a preacher as well. Here lately, I seem like I've been doing some of the funerals, and they called on me to do the funeral. And I preached the message that day about God, the lover of our soul. Only God loves the soul. Only God can provide a place for the soul, a body for the soul. And he was there that day. His name was Richard, but he was an atheist. But even after the sermon, he said, "You know what? I think I want a Christian funeral." He said, "I think I want a Christian funeral." I was taken back by that. You know, that God had spoken to him a little bit. But just a couple years later, and let me just tell you a little bit about this guy. Man, I'd never seen someone love his wife the way he did. She had a case of something the doctors never even figured out exactly what she had. It was so rare. But she was helpless. She couldn't do anything. And he took care of her for years on end, 2 or 3 years by her side. And just such a good person when it comes to his love for his wife. And his, you know, just such a good friend to my grandmother. And I'd always hear good things that Richard was doing for his friends and his family. And then just last year, it hadn't even been that long, just a few months ago, Richard was on his way to work, and Richard had a heart attack getting out of his car. He sold mobile homes, not mobile homes, but what do you call the RVs? He was selling RVs, and, you know, he went and met his eternity that day. And, you know, God began to ring on my thought, and I know that Richard didn't believe in God. He didn't. He said that he had what he called a scientific mind. And he just couldn't fathom how all this could happen. And he just needed more proof. And, you know, I began to think, you know, sobering thoughts about where Richard is today. And I hate to think the fact that there's a good chance, a really good chance, that Richard's not in heaven. That he's in a place called hell this morning. And that grieves my heart, to think about stuff like that. And this message was inspired. You know, I begin to think, God, this just isn't fair. How many of us have known, had a close friend that you know is not in heaven today? A close friend of yours that you know is not in heaven today. Am I the only person? Everybody else's friends are in heaven. Y'all know somebody. I mean, it could be a child. God forbid, it could be a child. It can be a mother or a father. It can be, you know, your boss or anybody. It's scary. And, you know, so I began to think, Lord, how is this fair? How is it even fair? And, you know, we began to question things like God's justice and God's love. And, you know, man, what's the deal here? And God began to lay on my heart this message. You know, that if God is going to send people to a place called hell, man, he must have a real case against them. He must have a real case against them. That sin must be such a dreadful thing to God, that he hates it so much that he'd be willing to send people to a place called hell. God, there must be a real case in the Bible that talks about this. And we talked about it a little bit Sunday night. I gave a hint of what we may be talking about. And we talked about how, you know, this earth only represents a speck of this universe. I mean, a speck. And God is a sovereign God. And He rules and reigns in everything, from the animals to the weather to everything in this creation is obedient to God's sovereign will. But yet we think, you know, and I think that, you know, and do you think, rather, that God is going to allow a speck of His creation, you know, to be in rebellion against Him, to disobey His commandments, to just sin all we want to, and yet, you know, God's just going to pass it by? No, He's not. He's sovereign. He's eternal. And God's standards and His rules, man, they matter to Him more than anything. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning, is the wrath of God. And it's found so clearly in Romans chapter 1, verse 18. Man, this is scary. And we as Christians need to be aware of it just as much as non-believers. Okay? Because we're the children of light. We are the ones who are called to bring our friends, to bring our family, to bring our co-workers out of the darkness and into the light. So let's go ahead and begin reading in Romans chapter 1, verse 18. It says this. It says, "For the wrath of God," and this is our key verse, "for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Therefore God also gave them up to uncleanliness and the lust of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason God gave them up to vile passions, for even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another, with men committing what is shameful, and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error which was due. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind, to do those things which are fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who, knowing the righteousness, judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them." Let's pray. Father God, Lord, we come to You, Lord. And this is a heavy topic, God. And Lord, it affects so many of us and so many of our friends and family. And Lord, we know that Your wrath is abiding on people. And God, we need You to come and break through. We need Your love. And we need the cross, Lord, we need to be sharing the message, rather, of the cross. Lord, we need to see people saved and come out of this darkness and into the light. Lord, You've called us to be Your children. And we want to walk in the light as You are in the light. And God, we want to do the things You called us to do. And Lord, help us to be obedient to You this morning. In Your name I pray. Amen. Man, this lays out the book of Romans, chapter 1, verses 18 through 32, is really the theology of the lost. The theology of the lost. And I begin to think, you know, it isn't fair if, you know, people are just allowed to live their life and all of a sudden they die in hell. You know what I mean? That doesn't make sense, does it? If you were to just go through life and there'd be no You know, God's not even hinting at the fact that he's angry with you, that God's not even suggested that maybe you should live a different life, that there's nothing in your heart that is, thinking about God, and that, that you were just, flabbergasted. You stand before God and you're shocked. You're shocked. You know, when he says, well done to some, and then depart from me, I never knew you, and you're just plain out shocked. Man, if that's how it works, God's not, that just wouldn't be right, would it? But you know what? We're always, as Christians, focusing on what's going to happen to the lost once they die. We're always concerned about, oh man, they're going to go to hell one day. They're not saved. But listen, man, you'll just have to forgive me if some of the analogies I use this morning aren't as sensitive as I think they should be, because we're talking about hell. We're talking about, but I'm just thinking, man, people are, it's not the wrath that's to come that we need to be worried about. Okay, we can't do nothing about that. When you stand when you die and you stand and you know you've got family and friends that didn't surrender to God, that didn't come to God, you can't do nothing for them at that point. You're not going to be able to talk their way into heaven. You're not going to be able to pray their way into heaven. All right? But guess what? The Bible says that the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven right now. Man, how many remember the story of Mount St. Helens? I believe it was 1980, March of 1980. Does that sound right? Some of you can probably remember what you were doing that day of the eruption. And they say that if you study different stuff, like I looked at Hiroshima and some of these bombs that we dropped in World War II, did you know that the power of Mount St. Helens eruption that day was equivalent to like 500 of those bombs? That's how powerful it was. Just devastated. Just knocked down every tree and, I mean, just, mud everywhere. We're talking about ash, this high. I mean, a mess. But isn't it interesting to see how beautiful it's starting to become today, just 30 years later? Just 30 years later, things are changing. But the point is this. Listen, you guys. When there's a storm brewing, God lets us know, don't he? I'm just talking about the physical realm. I remember as a kid sitting on top of the treehouse, and it was about 200 yards, maybe 100 yards from the house. And me and my sister would be playing. And all of a sudden, we were playing on top of the treehouse, and out of nowhere, it seemed a big storm came. I mean, lightning just, boom, And you could just see it hitting the ground almost. I mean, and me and my sister were sitting on top, and like, hey, you run first. You run first to the house, and I'll run next. I was wanting to see if she was going to make it, amen? See if she was going to make it. She was a little faster than me at that time, because I knew she was the faster runner. She was a couple of years older than me. And I just remember as a child, I don't know what it is as a child, but I was just more conscious of the weather. You know what I mean? I mean, when it would rain, you'd be sitting on the porch, and you'd be waiting, thinking, man, this is messing up my playtime right here, I don't want to be sitting inside. There ain't nothing to do. So I want to be out. I want to be out playing, And then after the rain, just smelling the freshness and walking, And you just, it seemed like the earth was just so much more real to me when I was a kid, because I played in it. I lived in it. And I was more conscious of rain and the smells of nature and everything that was going on. I'm sure some of you hunters in here, you guys maybe don't even realize how perceptive you are about nature and things that are going on, different little slight changes in the wind and stuff. Man, God gives us signals, okay? And there was a lot of signals going on the couple weeks prior, I believe, to Mount St. Helens eruption. Y'all remember that? There was people who said, I am staying. I've been living here. This is my home. One man had a nice hotel. He wasn't leaving, man. This is his home. All the meanwhile, what's happening? If I go to a volcano I notice the hole looks like that one day, and then I go the next week and it looks like that. It's time to get out of there, isn't it? Always said when, you know, them tsunamis come and people are on the beach and all of a sudden you see, you know, cats riding on the back of dogs getting out of there and people are still, you know, they say, man, there are signs. There are signs that bad things are coming. Okay, God does that to give us a warning. Hey, man, there's coming a storm. And don't you think the same fair and just God is going to do that and is doing that to lost people? But guess what? He's called us Christians to be the one to help people realize, man, it's raining. You know, sometimes before a volcano, you know, the first thing that shoots out, all of a sudden, you got that ash raining down. You know, you got gray ash raining down everywhere. Imagine that. Man, if it's to that point, you're in trouble. I mean, I don't even know at that point. You're just maybe barely can escape, you know, what's probably fixing to happen. And that's the purpose of this sermon today. I want to read this to you. Is that God's wrath is raining down on this world. Amen. God's wrath is raining down. Not later. Yes, later. But right now, God's wrath is raining down on this earth. Okay? It is. But God has called you. He's called me. We got to be aware of it. We've got to be aware of it. We got to get people out of the rain. We got to get people out of the darkness and into the light. And Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 32 lays out what God's wrath looks like, what men are doing, what this world is doing, and how God may seem silent. He may seem, but things, tangible things, are happening to lost people right now. John chapter 3, verse 36 says, he that believes in the Son, you know, let me read that verse actually. I always get it confused with another verse that sounds just like it. John 3, 36 says, he who believes in the Son has everlasting life. And he who does not believe the Son shall not see life. But the wrath of God abides on him. All right? That's what we're talking about this morning, is the abiding wrath of God. I can't do nothing about eternity, but man, I can get my friends, I can get my family, I can get people I know out from underneath this abiding wrath of God, because it is raining down on people right now, preparing people for hell, preparing people for judgment, preparing people for things to come. I want to get people out of this process. I want to get people into the light. Let's look at this process, okay? Beginning in verse 18. Says the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. First thing we're going to talk about briefly this morning is, one is the suppression of truth. Okay? The suppression of truth. That's the first thing that's happening that angers God. And you know, I love this Bible. I love it. And when people don't believe it, it bothers me. It does bother me. But you know what? God doesn't just love this book. He died for this book. This is His words. It's Him. I mean, it represents who He is. And when we suppress the truth, imagine, you know, again, some of my analogies this morning aren't going to be the most sensitive because this isn't the most sensitive topic. And I begin to think about, you know, people drowning and somebody drowning and how you suppress somebody under the water and how they might be screaming and how that might be the horrific thing to see something like that. Think about, not even if somebody, let's just not say they were drowned. Let's say they were drowned on their own. You know, somebody don't have to push you in to be drowned. You can just give up. You're out in the water too long and you're fighting. They say it's one of the worst ways to drown. I mean, one of the worst ways to die is drowning. You don't seem like it'd be that bad, but it is. Okay? And you guys, God loves this book. He loves His Word. He does. He loves it. And what people are doing, we're taking God's Word and we're drowning it. Alright? We're drowning it, not just not believing it, but we're drowning it in the thing God hates more than anything, and that's sin and unrighteousness. We're taking His most holy thing, His Word, the things He said, His Son who's come, who lived and died, and we're suppressing it in sin. That's what the world has done. We've taken this sacred and defamed it. God's holy truth, man, this is serious stuff. You know, imagine if somebody came in your house and took all of the most precious things you had, your pictures of your kids, and, you know, your maybe some medals you won in a war or something that you hold so valuable, and they just destroyed it. And, you know, and sometimes that's worse. You just about rather your whole house burnt down, you know what I'm saying, than somebody come in there and violate you so in such a way to destroy the things that you say are sacred. And we talked about this Sunday night, guys. You know, we say, how could it be fair that God could allow so many people in hell? And you know what thoughts started beginning in my mind is, you know what? I started to think about us as mankind. And you know that we have certain principles and things that if people were to violate, you know, Justin can tell you as a police, I think I always pick on Justin when I'm preaching, now that I think of it. But he can tell you, man, there's certain things, if he arrests me, there's certain things I can do to get killed or shot, isn't there? It don't even have to be that drastic. I mean, I could just maybe, you know, if I just kind of look like I'm, you know, there's things I can do to get me in trouble, all right? There's things in the world that, you know, when people, we're fighting for our freedom across this world, and, you know, we have a standard of living that we as Americans want to keep. In order for that to happen, sometimes wars have to break out and people perish in war. Amen? So what I'm saying is, a man, as an American, we understand that sometimes people die for what we believe in because we hold a standard, you know, of truth, our Constitution, this is sacred. And if it's violated, we're willing to fight whoever violates it. And we talked about Sunday night, you know, hey, if I don't believe in vampires or anything, but it's a good illustration. If you know, we were bitten by something that was going to change us into this monster, what would we do? At some point, as much as I love you guys or love my family, I'd say, you're not going to bite the rest of my family. I'm going to take you out. There comes a point where people, there's something that's more sacred than the lives of people. Y'all see that? There's something more sacred than the lives of people. And my point is, listen, freedom, I love freedom, but if I don't, you know, I guess we could change our mind and just let things go. Everything would, you know, go to hell in a handbasket, as they say, right? But we could do that. But you know what? God can't do that. This is God's truth. He can't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And God can't change His truth. But what have we done to it? What is this world doing to His truth? Is we are drowning it in the thing God hates the most. We're suppressing it in truth. And God's truth is screaming out for life. God's truth is saying, no, let God be true and every man a liar, but yet we continue to suppress the truth of God. That's the first thing that happens. That's the first case God has against mankind, is that mankind has suppressed His truth. Sounds silly, but if you start thinking about it practically, we do the same. We hold truths that sacred. We hold things that sacred. And God's truth is way more sacred than anything mankind has ever come up with. Any constitution, anything that we fight for, anything that we believe in, the Word of God is superior to all that we have and believe. Amen? So number one is the suppression of truth. Number two is willful denial. Willful denial. Okay? Let's look at it. He says, because what may be known of God. God's saying this stuff can be known. This stuff can be known. What may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of this world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. Even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God. Did you see that? There's a willful denial. Listen, God's creation tells the story. It sings of who He is, of His character. Without even having a Bible, most people you know, in time, could probably come to the conclusion, and God says this, I didn't say this. God says that there is a connection basically between the creature and the creation. And we know that we didn't get here on our own. We've made enough things, we've seen enough design, we've seen enough miraculous stuff to know when things are outside of our reach, when someone is behind the curtains doing these things. And the Bible said that God has put eternity in our hearts, that we can know these things. All right, so this willful denial that God is who He is, all right, that God is God. And it is through these things that God outlines Himself to us and says, I am real. It says His eternal power and Godhead is revealed from heaven. That we can see these things just by the things that were made. Why did God do that? Why did God make things so miraculous? So that you, even the dumbest person, could be without excuse. Okay? All right? Now, the problem with this general revelation that we're talking about today, oftentimes it may not be enough to save you, but the problem is it certainly is enough to condemn you. We've got to be aware of what we're seeing. All right? Don't be embarrassed about the truths of God. The fact that people don't believe. Listen, I listen to some critics on the Bible and people that I just think are, I'm talking about some of the worst ones, and I get angry sometimes. And I'm like, man, come on, don't you see? God loves you. You know, don't just mock God. Don't just suppress His truth. And this is serious. And I was saying all that to say something. But yeah, it's just a willful denial. Man, God is reaching out to them. God is trying so hard to reach out to them. But we suppress His truth. We willfully deny who He is. What are some of these lies? Evolution. What are some of these lies? You know, that mankind doesn't have a purpose and that God is not real, that He's not our creator. All these things are being used to try to suppress God's truth. Let's move on. It says also that because they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts and futile in their hearts were darkened. All right, the first thing that happens, first case and first thing that happens to mankind, I want y'all to see that these aren't just things that God feels. These are things that are happening to people who are under and abiding in the wrath of God. They've suppressed truth. There's a willful denial. And here comes something even scarier, is a hardened heart. A hardened heart. Okay? And this is a process that, and it's leading more and more toward judgment. All right? That the Bible talks about eyes that cannot see and ears that can no longer hear. And I want you to think about some of your friends and family at this point. Now, there's going to come a time in their willful denial and their suppression of truth that it's no longer, and this is why I'm glad I work with children and youth at times, is that, you know what, most people at that age haven't gotten, they don't have a hard heart. The heart hasn't become hardened to God. They may have a suppression of truth and, hey, I don't really know if I believe all that, and they may be questioning that. They may be willfully even saying, I don't want to be a Christian, but I rarely find a teenager or a child whose heart is just hardened toward God. Okay? Why am I telling you that? It's because I'm proving that this is a process that's happening. It's happening as we mature in our unbelief. That people's heart becomes hardened. And once it becomes hardened, it's not easy. It's not easy. You think about the seed that falls on the soil with the thorns and all the things the Bible talks about. And how it's so hard for it to get planted in that soil. I'm afraid that some of us in here, when we're thinking about our friends, our family, some maybe even some church members, man, they're at the point where their heart is just solid as a rock. You know, think about Pharaoh. The Bible says that Pharaoh hardened his heart. That story tells it all, doesn't it? We see how he suppressed the truth. Moses said, "Let my people go." Now, you're talking about suppression. We're going to make it harder on them. We're going to make it even harder on them, you know, Israelites. They're going to work twice as hard. He tried to suppress it. He tried to stomp out what God was trying to do. And then he just said, "You know, I'm just going to deny. I'm just going to deny all these miracles." Changing the water into blood and all these different plagues and things that were happening. Man, it's hard to deny that stuff, right? But he did, didn't he? He did. And you know what happened eventually? Bible says he hardened his heart. But also we read in the Bible that not only did he harden his heart, but we read elsewhere that the Bible says God hardened his heart. Okay? And that's what's even scarier to me, is that there's people that have gotten to the point where their heart is so hard toward God. And not only have they hardened it, but God in response. This is the wrath of God. We're talking about the wrath of God. This is God's response to willful denial. This is God's response to suppressing his truth. Is, you know what? You want a hard heart, buddy? Well, you got it. You want a hard heart, buddy? You got it. God will do that. That's his wrath. That's his anger toward his truth being suppressed, to his identity being denied. All right, it's not just a fun topic. Is God real? The Bible says only a fool has said in his heart there's no God. This isn't a fun topic. This is what you think about God, it decides whether or not God's wrath will abide on you or not. First thing was the suppression of truth. Number two is the willful denial. And three, we see the hardened heart. So that their hearts were hardened. Darkness. When darkness falls upon the heart. Scary day. We need to be praying. Pray for people you know. God, don't let their heart be hardened toward you. Lord, I know they don't believe. Lord, I know they don't receive it right now. But God, I just pray that you will allow their heart to be open to you, God. Don't let it harden, Lord. Let it stay soft. Give them a heart of flesh so that they might see you. Give them eyes to see, hearts to obey. Lord, open up their eyes to see you, Lord. Their foolish hearts were darkened. Verse 22, professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Here's the next thing that happens, okay? We've got the suppression of truth. We've got the willful denial. And we've got the hardened heart. But number four, I call it the great exchange, okay? The Bible talks about the great exchange. This only happens after the heart is hardened. We become wise in our own mind. We begin doing things. And it says they exchange the truth of God for a lie. Their heart is hardened and they've exchanged the truth of God for a lie. Listen, guys, think about a seesaw, okay? If you put the lies of this world up high, it's not just, again, a fairy tale that doesn't matter anymore. If God didn't create us, we have no value. We have no purpose. If we allow that to be, if we exchange God's truth for a lie, we now have no purpose. We now have no meaning. I mean, we do, but people, they live as though they don't. They live as though they don't. There's a great exchange that happens once our heart is hardened. And you know what this exchange is? You can sum it up in one word. It's called idolatry. It's called idolatry. When we exchange God for something else, it's called idolatry. It's all through the Bible. It's one of the things God hates more than anything is idolatry. And it doesn't have to be an image. He gives the illustration of an image here. But people would rather have something created than God. Something they can understand than God. People would rather have, you know, the lies of this world than the truth of God. And man, that angers God. That is what's causing God's reigning wrath to abide on men. The great exchange. The great exchange. The Bible talks about the great exchange and says, what would a man give in exchange for his soul? What does it profit for a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? There is a great exchange that's happening. And it's not just a one-time decision, but it's the wrath of God abiding on man. Man, I want to exchange this world. Give me God, amen? Give me God. Give me His truth and His righteousness. God wants to give us so much. What are some of these things that we exchange? We exchange the truth of God for a lie, verse 25. Worship and serve the creature rather than the Creator, who's blessed. For this reason, God gave them up. God gave them up. Notice that. That's the scariest exchange that I think happens, is when people go from being in God's care to being in the face of God's judgment. When, you know what? I've seen people that are lost, but you know what? God's still working on them. God's still talking to them. God's still trying. God's still got somebody in their family bringing them to church. God's still got somebody in their family praying for them. But you know what? Once that suppression of truth, that willful denial, that hardened heart, that the great exchange where God begins to give them over, this is a sad day. This is a really sad day. The great exchange. God gave them up to vile passions, for even their women exchanged the truth. It begins to talk about homosexuality. This is an exchange. This is a corruption of God's story. Listen, that's what a perversion is. We always want to jump down the throat. I think it's a sin. I'll admit it to this day. But you know what? Anything that goes against God's story, this is His story. The Bible is His story. And anytime we violate God's message, we pervert His story. You know what that's called? Perversion. It don't matter if it's homosexuality. It doesn't matter if it's a child who's disobedient to his parents, who God's ordained to honor his father and mother. God sees it the same. This is my story. It's my will. It's my word. And when we violate it, God sees it as a perversion of His truth. We suppress it. These things are happening in the world today. And this world is happy about it. Man, we're congratulating people. And it talks about that. Hey, not only do they do these things, but they congratulate those who do it. That's the world we're living in, guys. This is the last thing that happens before God's abundant wrath pours down on this earth. We're seeing it. We're living in the latter rain, not of God's revival, but in the wrath of God that is being poured out upon this nation. Okay? It's a real thing that's happening, ladies and gentlemen. There's this great exchange. Oh, leaving the natural use of a woman, and it goes on to talk about the sin of homosexuality. Verse 28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, here's the next thing. God gave them over to a debased mind. Not only the great exchange, but we see that God gives them this debased mind, this reprobate mind. No longer centered on God's truth. No longer capable of understanding God's word. No longer really capable of surrendering to God's, to the cross of Christ. I think about Lot and how the Bible says he set his eyes toward Sodom. Man, that's where people are at in this world today. We've set our eyes. And listen, this debased mind. And this closes out the chapter and we'll be done. With this new mind, you know, think about the new mind that God has promised us as Christians and what all it allows us to do. What it allows us to do is to fill ourselves with all kinds of righteousness for reward. I can know how to make God happy. I can know how to do things where God is going to bless me. I can know how to do things in the Romans 12 mindset. So when I stand before God, He's going to say, well done. How good and faithful servant. He's going to be so happy with me because God's given me a mind to know how to please Him. But listen, you guys, once this suppression of truth has happened, once this willful denial has happened, once our heart has been hardened and we've experienced this great exchange and we receive this mind, guess what? Now we know how to fill ourselves with judgment, things that are going to produce judgment. Sin becomes exceedingly sinful. The things that God hates becomes the things that we love. And we just want more and more and more of it. Does that sound like any nation that you recognize? Where we want more. Hey, forget about the old times when they thought it was a sin to do this and you couldn't do nothing back then. Now, man, everything's cool. Everything's acceptable. You know what we're living in? We're living in a society with a debased, perverted mind. God's, and we can be mad at them, and we can be upset, and we can try to change them. But listen, these people, they need God. And God is preparing them for judgment. This is like, I think about a present that's being wrapped. This is the last thing. What do? You fill the box with paper and stuff, right? And try to fill so it won't shake, right? Well, guess what? This debased mind where mankind fills himself with all kind of evil, it's the last little thing God does before he sends them off to judgment. Why? Hey, man, they might not have... It's one thing to deny God when you're just suppressing truth, but now you've allowed your suppression of truth to allow yourself to fill yourself with all kind of sin that God hates. Just to rumble in it, to just bury yourself in it. And now you're ripe and ready for judgment. You can stand before God and you have nothing. You've lost your mind. Your heart is hard. You don't know the truth. You wouldn't recognize the truth. People's prayed for you. Things have happened. But you've gotten to the point where you're so full of unrighteousness that you're good for nothing but judgment. And God, being the righteous God that He is, He will pronounce judgment. He will bring about His judgment. Because He is God, even though He loves us. Man, this is a process that our friends and our family are going through. And listen, we're Christians. I want to read one verse in closing, okay? Not only is the wrath of God being revealed from heaven against all ungodliness, but the Bible says, just a couple verses before, Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew and also to the Greek. For in it, the gospel, the righteousness of God is being revealed from heaven. For in it, the righteousness of God is being revealed from faith to faith, that is written, the just shall live by faith. I want to leave you with a positive note this morning. Even though the wrath of God is raining down from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness for those who practice sin, but the Bible says, but the righteousness of God is being revealed from heaven, from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. Even though the wrath of God is presently abiding on this world and is presently hardening, is presently allowing people to prepare themselves for judgment, there's also a cross. There's also a person named Jesus who lived and died and rose again. And He is He has called His church to go out into this world and to drag people out of the darkness and see them be placed into the light. He has called us to let this world know that it's raining God's wrath down right now. Man, you need to look up. You need to listen. You need to be in a church. Man, your family, don't let your children, don't let their hearts get hardened. Don't let their mind become corrupt. It matters what you say. It matters what we do. Man, we need to get the truth of God out there. Even though the wrath is raining down, the truth of God is so much greater. His grace, we sang it when I started this sermon. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. That's the story of this message. Amazing grace is raining down through the death of Jesus Christ. And we can get out of the rain. We can wipe ourselves. The Bible says He's going to give us a fresh garment. That He's delivered us from this world and the sin of it. And all its And that God hasn't destined His church for wrath, but to obtain salvation. That God has delivered us. He wants to deliver us. And that's what He's called us to be. His people of truth. His people of light. But listen, you guys. It ain't the wrath to come that we need to worry about. I'm not going to be around to help anybody then. I can't help nobody on Judgment Day. But I want to begin using the truth of God and seeing them unwrapped from judgment. I want all the things, that hardened heart to fall off. I want that debased mind to change. I want to see that they accept and believe the truth of God. And as we pray for them and as we witness to them, we'll begin to see God's great salvation. Because the righteousness of God is being revealed from heaven against all unrighteousness. The righteousness of God is being revealed that the just must live by faith. Faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. I'm going to ask Boyd if he'd come. We're going to stand and sing in just a moment. But I want you to be thinking about, man, listen, I don't think Christians experience the wrath of God, but these things can happen to us where God's truth is not as real to us as it was yesterday. Maybe you've allowed sin to creep into your life. And maybe, you know, your passion for God and evangelism, your passion for ministry, your passion for our church or your family or in the lost has dwindled. Well, guess what? That's not a natural thing either. That's something that is happening to us, that our hearts get a little dark when we get out of God's Word. You know, we no longer see God's truth the way we used to see it. Let's stand as Brother Boyd plays. And I'm just believing that we've got somebody we need to pray for today who's in this process. That's in this process. Their heart is hard. Their mind is debased. They've suppressed God's truth. And now you know they're filling their life with more and more sin. And God is calling His Christians to stand before them. He's calling us, the redeemed, to bridge the gap between heaven and hell. And you've got the words of truth. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew and also the Greek. That the righteousness of God is simply this, that the just must give their life over to faith. Faith that Jesus paid it all, and all to Him we owe. And church, let's get serious about this reign that's here now. Let's see it. Let's not be blind to it. The unrighteous are blind. They don't see it. They don't feel it. They don't realize it. Some of them have gotten so far down the road. Our country has gotten so far down the road that it's going to take nothing short of a miraculous revival to see people change, to see people come to know God's truth. And that means God's people praying for the lost, God's people praying for this community. So I challenge you this morning to come down and do that. Say, hey, I can do that. I can pray that God will just continue to work in my family. I can pray that God will just continue to keep a window open, just a window open in my son and my daughter, that the light of God will come through, that some prayer, some friend, somebody will come and they'll hear the truth of God and be saved. If that's you this morning and you feel like you need to come and pray and just ask that God's truth come to someone you know, man, let's do that this morning. As Brother Boyd plays.